GNC573. It's Friday, May 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Have a great show for you. Lots of very important announcements. Got some cool stuff to announce. I just can't wait to tell you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Albuquerque, New Mexico, via the portable Geek News Central studio. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And, wow, we got a fun show to put out tonight. And I guess first things first, I want to tell all of you that are part of our Geek News Central Insider Club. I don't know if I want to call it a club, but those of you that are part of the Geek News Central Insider, you got your first audio file today. So that is out and on the street, and we'll talk more about this, something that we're, you know, now going to call from here on out the Geek News Insider. All right. Hey, welcome to the Ohana. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. And all of you that are longtime subscribers to the podcast, thanks for being here. Thanks for remaining part of the family. Of course, thanks for staying subscribed as well and telling your friends and neighbors about the show. For those of you that are new to the show, I want to welcome you. We have listeners tuning in from over 165 countries worldwide, either via download or via the web as they watch this as it's been recorded maybe some days ago. But people from all over the planet pick up the show, and we want to welcome them. If you're new to the show, you definitely want to get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to cover tonight, including listener-submitted content, basically anything that the audience has sent in. We put in the show notes as well. So really what you're going to do is you're going to get the great audio content, and then you're going to get the backup email with all of the links to all of the articles that I cover. You can find the subscription button to that on the second column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we want to encourage you to subscribe to the show either via Zune Marketplace or iTunes, whatever really is your fancy, whatever application you use the most to get media. Or if you're on a mobile device, there's plenty of podcatchers with all you have to do is just grab the RSS feed and drop it in there, and you'll never miss an episode ever. So get subscribed to the show, and of course I push this out every Tuesday and Friday morning. It's recorded in the evenings on Monday and Thursday nights. I'm actually in Albuquerque right now on travel, and I'll be headed back to Honolulu Saturday morning. We'll be back for 3 shows in Honolulu before I head out to Detroit. If you've got a Roku or a Boxy app, hey, you can check me out on Roku as well. The Tech Podcast app is online, but it's very, very close. So we're hoping we're going to get approved. They seem to approve everything on Fridays. So maybe it'll be, we'll get the word tomorrow that it's actually up. Hey, I want to cover a couple of things tonight. Some changes are in the works, and I've spent some time today working on the Geek News Central website, and I guess a lot of this was prompted by having lunch with Sam. He's one of the longtime listeners of the show here in Albuquerque, and Sam came prepared. Sam came with a list that was 3 pages long and of little things to talk about, not only about the show, but just, you know, some general stuff as well. And I've implemented some changes on the website to make it easier for you guys to find stuff. We are now calling the contribution portion, where you guys, if you want to support the show, we're calling that the Geek News Central Ohana Insider Program. And really, all that is All that is if you feel like you are willing to donate $2, $5, $10, $20, or $25 a month to the show, you can do that by going over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. The goals remain the same. We're trying to essentially replace my salary so we can bring some more people on board. Of course, I shared on the Insider audio program today that I shared with contributors a lot more details. And the way to get on that Insider audio program is to get subscribed to contribute monthly to the show, and we'll put you on the list. So real easy to find, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Now, with that as well, we've had complaints in the past. It was hard to find promo codes on the web, basically my GoDaddy promo codes, or it's hard to find information about sponsors. So what I've done is I've created a page, again, following along the same lines of the /insider. It's geeknewscentral.com/offers. Now, on that page contains a lot more information than what is normally covered in the show. You guys know who the two primary sponsors are here. But what I have done today is basically have added a couple of programs that make available to you to, some ways to save some money, and also some new opportunities for some products for you guys to check out. And what I also am trying to do here, it's twofold. Number one, I'm giving you access to a variety of different offers in order to save money, get products and services and so forth. But I'm also putting these up as a sanity check. These are currently live programs or live advertising deals that we have running at Raw Voice with a variety of different vendors. So in essence, what I'm going to do with that page is every time we have a new vendor come on or I have a new product, we're going to add it to the geeknewscentral.com offers page. And what that's going to do is going to allow you that want to go in there and kind of look the products over and provide me feedback. And that feedback that you send to me, we won't read on the air. So if you want to have something that comes on the air, you'll have to send something else. But kind of a sanity check. It's going to be a way for you guys to give me feedback and saying, Todd, that product's great, or that product sucks. And what we are going to do, though, is for those of you that send me in testimonials for either using GoToMeeting or using the GoDaddy products, we're going to hook you guys up with some free stuff. And how we're going to do that now is through our new Ohana store. Now, I must applaud Sam for doing this, but we now have a Cafe Press website, cafepress.com/Ohana store. And for those of you on Ustream, you guys can see my Ohana t-shirt. I'm wearing a green t-shirt with says Ohana and a nice logo, then geeknewscentral.com under it. So what we're going to do initially is Sam created this design, and I went in and upgraded the store to a pro site so that he could add more design. So I sent him a bunch of my graphics over, stuff that I had done in the past that we have never really gotten online. He's going to manage the entire Ohana store for me. And what that is ultimately going to result in is if you want a design that you want submitted to the Ohana store, I think Sam's got an email address already for it, but I'll probably we'll figure out how to work that out. You can send him initially to the show email for the time being, and then we'll forward it to him. But I'll work that out with Sam and how we want submission. So if you've got a graphic ability and you think of something cool to put together for the show as a, something would go on a t-shirt, a mug, a sticker, whatever it may be, send it over to Sam. Now, here's the thing. You guys know I did a call out to the entire audience basically saying, if you want to create a store and you want to put something together for the show, feel free to do so. And by doing that, what's going to happen is Sam and I are just going to split the proceeds to it. The proceeds will come back, and it's going to go into the same fund that I'm using with the Geek News Central Insider program. So that'll help, again, generate more revenue for the show so that we can go on to building my overall agenda with the site and what we want to bring to you in the future. So pretty cool stuff tonight. geeknewscentral.com/offers. Check those out. And if there's something there that interests you, check it. Go ahead and try the product. If you see something there that is of concern, or you have something positive to say, let me know. Send me a an email and a sanity check. If you have comments on one of our two current sponsors of the show, GoDaddy and GoToMeeting, if you have testimonials to send in or even issues to send in, let us do. We're going to be hooking you up with some cool prizes. Now, one thing that I wanted to also bring out is I'm trying a new strategy. The forum, beknownst to me, was archived because of lack of use. And that was a problem I've had with forums in the past. So we're going to move the forums into a modern era. So this is what I want you all to remember. If you're out there using Twitter and you want to make a comment to me about the show and you don't want to send an email or voicemail, all you got to do is use the hashtag GNC. Okay, we're going to try that. Hopefully that doesn't mess up and getting with the the folks that sell vitamins. So we'll try that for a little bit. We may change it. And then if you want to get questions answered by the Ohana, if you have a problem and you've got a blog post somewhere and you're trying to get something changed up, we're going to use the hashtag Ohana. So I'll be tracking both the Ohana and the GNC hashtag on Twitter after you basically have a more rapid-fire response and chat back and forth with the community. So remember those two. We'll be talking about them on future shows, of course. Also, favorite the Geek News Central website on Facebook. That's greatly appreciated. Now, I don't know if I've got any samples here, but one thing is Sam came with an envelope. And, you know, I'll be honest. I need about 100 Sams. We need to build the Geek News Central Insider Army to monumental levels to take this thing to the next really where we're going with it anyway. So what's going to happen is because Sam's doing what he's doing, Sam's automatically going to go on the Geek News Central Insider list just for being one of the folks that helps the show out in a big way. And so we're going to be looking for folks to help us out on different types of projects and stuff, and I'll be talking about that as time goes on. But if you'd like to be, maybe not be able to contribute financially to the show, but would like to contribute some time and help, we've got a number of projects that we're working on. We'd love to have you on board so far as graphics, that type of stuff. We'd love to have some support from the audience as well. This audience has grown to huge levels, so it's time to crowdsource and use some of the talent that's out there that listens to the show, and we're going to help you guys become stakeholders in Geek News Central. Now, what I would imagine happening, and this is initially in my infancy of thinking, is that folks like Sam, who are running, going to be running the Ohana store, folks that may be coming in and helping in other ways in a non-financial matter, we may actually work it out so that they actually become true stakeholders in Geek News Central. Geek News Central is based on a legal corporation. It's my corporate name is Podcast Connect Incorporated. So, there always can be the possibility where we can, do this kind of expand the show startup style by leveraging help from the audience members and those that that commit to help the show in a bigger way. So one of the things that Sam brought me was some vinyl stickers. Now, you probably can't see it. Maybe you can. And these are cool. I've got a couple of them slapped on my laptop already. Everyone that's a Geek News Central Insider member, they're going to receive, I don't know if I've got it here with, no, I got it in a bag over there, but it's basically a vinyl logo of GNC. We're going to be sending that out to everyone. So these can be found at tweetdecals.com, tweetdecals.com. It's a cool thing. You can put them on your car, on your laptop, and they're not like a normal sticker. You basically peel the front piece off, you put it on the where you want it to be displayed, and then you scrub it in, and then you peel the top layer off, and you're left just with the letters. Real cool stuff, tweetdecals.com, and thanks for Sam's buddy for hooking me up with these. They're totally awesome. I got some really big ones that are going to go on my car in Honolulu. We've got a Roku to give away tonight, and I got it in the list, but I didn't even prepare like a knucklehead. So we're going to do that before we go on, or I will forget tonight. Let me close this and go to my Roku list. Hey, Dale, You're on chat there on Ustream. So we're going to do this super scientifically, okay? I need you to give me a number between 1 and 287. So you give me a number between 1 and 287, and I will pick that as a winner. So that will be our winner for the Roku. So we'll look here for Dale to give me a number here in just a second via Ustream. Still going to Ford on the 20th. So going to see if we can live stream that, I hope. We've got a Lenovo Think Center A63 to give away, and I actually saw some traffic on the forums. I may be doing that next week. Dale says the magic number is number 167. Now, you know you're going to make me count down. Let me see how many is on a page here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 32, 64. Yeah, I have to do math here now. I'm counting. Oh my goodness. Making sure I'm not making a mistake so we get the right person that wins this. All right, the email is loading. And our winner tonight is Ken Gaud, G-E-D, Ken G-E-D, G-A-U-D. Let me star him. He is a winner of our second Roku giveaway. Congratulations to Ken and Dale. Thanks for the number on Ustream. I definitely appreciate it. So I'm just making sure. Yeah, okay. If I made a mistake, then it's done. So Ken, congratulations. But hey, that was kind of a cool way to do it away, right? Crowdsource from the audience. All right, I've already talked way too much here on all this other stuff going on. Thanks for everybody for basically participating in that, and we'll announce next week on how we're going to give away the Think Center A63, or yeah, that's the right number, I guess. Yeah, computer to go out to one of the audience members. Hey, of course, how we keep the lights on here is through our sponsors, GoDaddy.com and GoToMeeting. Really, if you are looking for a domain product, if you're looking for a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be in the online world, GoDaddy.com is the place to go. And GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here. All the Geek News Central servers run on it. A good portion of Raw Voice property servers run on it as well. We pay for those, and then I do use my own promo codes. You can save a lot of money over at GoDaddy.com by just, you know, again, when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek gear at Geek News Central. Use that promo code Todd to save 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49, and you got a few months to get your .coms registered because the price is going up. So if you got some domains you want to register, do that. I think July 4th, the prices go up on .coms like 27 cents or something like that. Of course, hosting accounts. If you're looking for a shared hosting account, I got a great deal for you. 1 year shared hosting account. You can use the promo code Todd20 and save 20%. One of the popular words being used right now is Aloha. That saves you a huge amount of money on the checkout, $20 off, order $75 or more. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And of course, you know, in this ongoing and really challenging economy, of course, the stuff going on in the stock market today was crazy. And, of course, someone said they fat-fingered some numbers in a sell order or something, which made the Dow drop 1,000 points, which probably caused a great deal of us to, you know, our 411, 401, you know, whatever's left of our investments from the previous drop, it would have been split again. But luckily, it was just a mistake, and it only dropped 300. But, you know, in this ongoing and challenging economy, companies of all sizes and individuals must find new ways really to cut cost. You know, every dollar saved really helps that bottom line. And that's why I recommend a web conferencing solution for your business or for your individual use. It helps improve overall communications and efficiencies, not to mention improving the global economy and even more green too. You don't have to travel. The easiest, most affordable for me is GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. Reduce time on the road by presenting, training, or demonstrating online. Improve conference calls by collaborating real time by sharing your screens. GoToMeeting is the best way to increase your productivity and cut costs. You know that I've used GoToMeeting for years. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Again, GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for that free 30-day trial. Hey, I'd gotten a word from one individual that said that the last show was a little choppy on audio. Did anyone else experience that? If you did, let me know, please, all right? All right, let's go ahead and get into the content. We're already late getting into the content tonight. Hey, the Consumer Electronics Agency has put out a report finding that Americans are buying more technology. And I don't think that should come as a surprise. But, you know, the recession is upon us, but people are still spending money on electronics. Last year, the average U.S. household spent $1,380 on consumer electronics, which represents an increase of $151 from last year. Now, does that mean it's because everyone's staying inside? No one's going to the movies, so they're buying a little more entertainment devices to enjoy it at home? Is that the reason? But U.S. households own at least one computer. We're told that 86% of all U.S. households own at least one computer, making it the third most owned consumer electronic device behind TVs and DVD players. And netbooks, 12% of U.S. households have one of those, while 58% own laptops or some sort. So pretty cool information. There's a good press release. This came off of Engadget. The press release breaks down all the detailed information by the CEA, of course, who is the sponsor or the organizer of the Consumer Electronics Show. A Targus laptop power supply. Hey, please pay attention here, okay? If you have a Targus universal wall power adapter for your laptop, and the following SKUs, and I'm not even going to list these, but if you have one of these power adapters from Targus, they're doing a nationwide recall. Now, they were sold at retailers, including Walmart, Best Buy, and Staples, from June of 2009 through March of 2010. They ranged between prices of $89 and $109 for the adapters and for wall outlets, and $129 to $149 for those that included a car/airplane adapter. So, again, if you purchased one of these Targus replacement power adapters let me get you the date here, from June 2009 to March 2010, apparently these things are over and causing damage. So be careful out there, okay? And look at your plastic cases. Make sure that they haven't melted. If they have, do not use them, all right? A little consumer awareness here. All right, the FCC today, we talked on the last show about maybe the FCC was going to be stepping back. Well, the airways are just blasting today. I've probably got five articles here talked about the FCC's new way that they're going to go to this. So what they've done is they've outlined a third way to implement internet regulatory plan that's going to split access from content. In 2002, the FCC decided to classify internet access as a Title I information service, which means that the agency didn't have to specify or have direct authority to regulate providers. Instead, it relied on its ancillary authority, which basically boils down to we're allowed to do anything reasonable to accomplish the goals Congress lays out. Now that, you know, they got slapped hard during this lawsuit loss. So what they're going to do now is the FCC is going to move to reclassify broadband access as a Tier 2 telecommunications service, which is the same as is how the agency regulates wireline telephones, in other words, your Bell companies, ISPs, and so forth, are going to find themselves, if this is approved, in a regulatory quagmire. But they're kind of trying to thread the rope here on this, or thread the needle on this, and kind of come in half baked. In other words, they're going to not be like as heavy-handed as they would be on the Bell companies, but their true agenda here is to really allow net neutrality, to them to have some effect over some regulatory effect to enforce net neutrality. Now, the Open Internet Coalition, which includes Amazon, Dish Networks, Google, and Netflix, companies like that, said this framework that the FCC is proposing will ensure that consumers have access to an open internet, one that would preserve a level playing field for all participants, and it does so without regulating the internet, but only applying basic rules to the road to the transmission service that provide access to the internet. Now, check this out. Now, that was the Open Internet Coalition. Hear what Verizon has to say. We believe that the chairman's stated approach is legally unsupported. The regulatory and judicial proceedings that will ensue can only bring confusion and delay to the important work of continuing to build the nation's broadband future. Congressman John Bonner, Republican of Westchester, Ohio, says today's FCC announcement amounts to a government takeover of the internet, and yet another government takeover of a large portion of the private sector by the administration. Under this job-killing big government scheme, the Obama administration is seeking to expand the power of the federal government. You know, I don't agree with everything that's going on at the nation, but I think what the FCC is doing here, in order to protect net neutrality rights, is the right way to go. Otherwise, companies like Verizon, Comcast, and so forth, you know, they are going to, you know, just, I want to keep them folks in check. You know, I don't want to regulate them. I just don't want them to, you know, classify my Roku device as, you know, something that is to be throttled. Or the PlayStation 3, or the Wii, or your Xbox, you know, it's making sure we have fair access to the internet. So there's a number of articles here. I'll link up to all of those. And but I had to laugh here because Mark Cuban weighed in today, and he said, would you support net neutrality for your house or apartment network? And what he's referring to here is obviously a problem that many of us are facing in our homes. I am a heavy user. My wife is becoming a heavy user. My kids are definitely going to be, the 13 and 12 year old are becoming heavy users. You know, if I'm trying to watch the Roku box in the bedroom, kids are watching the Roku box in the living room, then I have one kid playing a game online, and the wife trying to watch Japanese internet TV, there might be an issue. And being the geek that I am, I might stack the cards in my favor. you know, I know how to throttle traffic in my own network at home. Actually, what I've done, I've bought more broadband. And I don't throttle nobody. But not everyone has the financial ability to put in more than one internet connection in their homes. So it is true that that we have problems within our houses as well, because if you have a large family, there's definitely not enough bandwidth for everyone to go around. I can't imagine what's going to happen when Ray starts, you know, playing role-playing games, or, you know, network-type stuff where he's in virtual spaces at World of Warcraft or something like that. Those are definite bandwidth. I'm going to be putting him on. Yeah, he'll be on his own subnet. So, you know, Mark's got a point here. Anyway, I'll have the link up to all this in the show notes. If you guys have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can reach that at 619-342-7365. Someone is saying no video. So, oh, Tom is actually doing some testing for me now. We did some exploratory stuff, folks. Or actually, Tom did. We've been looking at Leo's iPad app, and we were able to, or Tom was able to, deduce how he's putting that stream on there. And it's actually the Ustream video stream. And so Tom's testing tonight, trying to figure out what my unique code is. We've been back and forth with the Ustream folks a couple of times. And so he's just doing a test to see if we can prove what they told us today was true. And it appears that it is not. So he might, we're just doing a little exploratory stuff while the show's going on live tonight. Okay. You know all those phone booths across the country? You know, no one's using them, right? Matter of fact, there are a lot of them down. Well, in Austria, the telecom company there has turned those phone boxes into car recharging stations. So, you know, they basically now you pull your car up to the curb, and there's the phone booth, and you jack yourself in, and you charge your electric car. So the Austrian Motor Vehicle Association is predicting that they'll have uses for its 13,500 phone boxes around the country to turning them into recharging stations for electric vehicles. If you've been in Japan or in New York or someplace where they double park to get to a phone, or at least they used to back in the old days, I can see this now. Traffic jams basically in and around phone booths or recharging stations. You know, when I was a kid, of course, a very popular television show was the $6 Million Man with Steve Majors on it. And he, of course, was a guy that they redid his whole body. He had a bionic arm, eye, legs. You know, basically he was, and they played, you know, and the music that they played when he was listening stuff, you know, it's, they had this, you know, this noise like he was super strong stuff. But anyway, you know, how far we have come. A company called Touch Bionics at touchbionics.com has introduced the new iLimb Pulse. And this is a significant advancement to their product line, which includes pulsing grip strength, multiple software-enabled grip patterns, and robust aluminum features for improved user confidence. What I was blown away by is that this iLimb Pulse joins a family of their products, has been fitted to more than 1,200 patients worldwide, and its development has driven by the Touch Bionics experiences in the marketplace. So this is for folks that have lost their hands or arms, and this is some cool stuff here. It really, really is, and it gives hope to those that have been either a war or accident victim, and the ability to, you know, I've my best friend in high school, his father had lost his arm during a tornado in 1964. And, you know, he adapted very well and could do a lot of stuff with his prosthetic device. But I just can't imagine, you know, what he thinks about this new technology that's coming on, which in essence would, you know, give him a lot of his arm functions back. And I think we, probably many of us know people that have lost an arm or a leg. And luckily, this technology is getting to the point where we are going to truly have bionic, you know, people with bionic technology in them. So exciting stuff. I'm sure expensive, but I'll have the link up to it in the show notes. Hey, over on johnbenson.net, I told you guys that you could build your own micro SIM card. Well, he shows you how to make one with a meat cleaver. And I'll have this link up in the show notes. And if you so want to create a mini SIM card for your, a micro SIM card for your iPad, he shows you the step-by-step procedure to do that. My suggestion is that you try to get a micro SIM initially to test first, or actually get the whole pattern. I'm sure they're going to have whole patterns on the internet. We'll probably be able to download shortly. But yeah, it looks not too difficult. Anyway, SIM cards are cheap, so you know you only may burn a couple bucks if you bust one anyway. All right, good article over on geeknewscentral.com by Susabel, one of our contributing writers over there. Of course, one of the longtime listeners of the show as well. She's got an article up on My Kindle Might Actually Be Worth Something After All. Susabel, what do you mean that you have not read an entire book with your Kindle? I read voraciously with my Kindle, and I think the Kindle's still easier than my iPad. I bought a book on my iPad. It was What Would Google Do, I think is the name of the book. I started reading it last night. But she's really excited because Amazon has announced that they're going to be adding the ability to interface somewhat with Twitter and Facebook. And they're going to be adding additional fonts to Zoom to the device, as well as allowing you to create collections to sort your books. Now, I think this is a cool move, but I don't know if I would use my Kindle to do Facebook or Twitter updates. She's pretty happy that this is forthcoming. So, of course, the articles are on geeknewscentral.com. Link will be up in the show notes. Now, one thing I missed when I was out in Vegas, and this was reported by another contributor at Geek News Central, Andrew. He read an article over at Home Cinema Choice and was pretty despaired in that he found that the 3D specs used by Samsung and Panasonic are not compatible unless you want to wear the 3D glasses upside down. And I agree with him. What were they thinking? And why couldn't someone have simply picked up the phone and said, "Hey guys, what way round are you doing your 3D glasses?" this could be, he goes on to say, this could be as big as Blu-ray HD DVD all over again, with Sony going for one eye and Toshiba going after the other. So anyway, be wary of the new technology and make sure you buy the right glasses if you buy a 3D TV. Now, if you use someone else's iPad and you don't know who they are, please be careful, because their software is going to hide in the background that will record both email and website visits. It's an app that's been launched on the in the App Store. And, it's not in the App Store. It's only on Jailbreak. It's not been approved by Apple. It's only on Jailbreak iPads available through alternate app chains. So, apparently, if you don't know the individual, don't be checking email or web history, because they could be snooping what you're doing, all right? Okay, the aliens have come, according to at least one Russian regional president. Check this out. The Russians are investigating whether or not a regional president gave state secrets to aliens. MP Andrew Lebedev is not just asking, apparently this was a guy by the name of, oh my goodness, Kirshen Aluminov, I don't even know if I pronounced that right, claims he was abducted by aliens. Now a Russian MP has asked the president, Dmitry Medvedev, I just destroyed that again, to investigate his claims to make sure he didn't give any state secrets to the space visitors. Okay. Now, if the government's investigating this, who's the crazy one here? If he was abducted by an alien, how would he know if he gave up state secrets or not? Because, you know, don't people that are abducted by aliens, don't they normally just kind of wake up and see the grays and then, you know, fall asleep again? Or, you know, anyway, this guy claims, yes, a regional president. I didn't even know they had regional presidents in Russia. What kind of a weird deal is that? All right, AT&T extends iPhone exclusive in quid pro quo, says analyst. This is bad news for those of you on Verizon. A analyst has deducted that AT&T and Apple probably have a quid pro quo in place that extended the mobile carrier's exclusive deal with the iPhone in exchange for heavily discounted data plane pricing for the iPad. It goes on to say that AT&T had to do something dramatic to get the iPad, said Brian Marshall, a Wall Street analyst at Broadpoint AM Tech. AT&T move was to discount their normal wireless data plans by 50% to all iPad customers. No, I think it was because they knew no one would buy it if it was $60. Let's be honest. We're paying for our phones. And by the way, you can't buy a 3G. Don't tell my wife, but I was trying to get her an iPad 3G, and they don't have any right now. So you guys didn't tell me they were sold out. And so anyway, No one's going to pay for a phone, and they're going to play for their other mobile stuff, then pay another $60. It just, I don't know if I believe this. What do you guys think? Do you think they did a deal? Because reports out are that Verizon customers are foaming at the mouth to get their hands on an iPhone. And I just don't think Apple would discount the potential of selling several million more phones, or whatever the number is, with sticking with Apple, I mean, sticking with AT&T, considering all the issues. I don't know. What do you guys think? All right, those of you in the UK, how many of you went to Best Buy? Did any of our listeners, any of our Hana, go to Best Buy this weekend in the UK? It appears that Best Buy Open in the UK has broke all global sales record. So I'm kind of curious if anyone in the UK has went. What? How much is the price difference? Is it that much cheaper? I guess Best Buy's first store is in Thurrock, Essex, located in the east of London. It's near where the 2012 Olympics will be held. And it said, while Best Buy had some decent reductions on its opening day and a lot of fanfare, I can't see it doing really well here despite the obvious threat of online shopping on Amazon. This was a statement by, who made that statement? They wrote that like it was someone's statement. You know, I haven't shopped for electronics in the UK ever, so I have not a clue. Are you guys buying most stuff through Amazon, or where do you guys buy your electronics at over there? Fill me in. Clue me up. We've got 13% of you that are in the UK that listen to this show, so someone had to have gone there. Right over on the Apple blog, appleblog.com, I got an article on preparing to write your first iPhone app. Hey, Tom, you want to check this one out? Are we doing the right thing? I think we have. We've did a little, you know, we did a little opinion survey with the audience, and you know, I think we're trying to make some differences here for the app. Well, the next thing we got to figure out, Tom, is how we, once we get the iPad or iPhone app done, how do we make you know, what do we do for the iPad? And, of course, I got to do something for Android. Are there any Android developers on the show? If there is, I got a job for you. We need to make an Android app, too. So email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Anyway, I have that link up to that article. Now, this here just disgusts me. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised. And also, it brings up some concerns. Here's the title of the article. This is over on GigaOhm.com. McDonald's to be the first location-based marketer on Facebook. McDonald's will be the first marketer to use Facebook's forthcoming location platform. Users will be given the ability to check in at a location using a status update on Facebook as early as this month, a featured product targeted to that location. McDonald's will reportedly be the first brand to participate as part of a large media buy. Okay. Now, McDonald's is the first. Do you, you know, the way insurance companies are these days and the way they're so freaking out about fat people, and I'm not saying because you eat at McDonald's you're fat, but, you know, I've ate at McDonald's a few times and I'm fat. Not in recent months, but would you check in at a fast food place? I wouldn't check in at a McDonald's. You know, I'll check in at a nice restaurant. I'm not going to check in at McDonald's. What happens when you check in at a liquor store, or you check in someplace that sells cigarettes, or you check in someplace that, you know, what happens when insurance companies start using your public Facebook data to say, hey, you know, it looks like you've checked into McDonald's 32 times this year. Due to your fat intake, we're canceling your insurance policy. It's not that one time you check in. It's the, you know, if you go to McDonald's once a week, that's a trend. No, thank you. I'm not going to do it. I won't. I don't eat there right now anyway. But what do you guys think? Think this? Am I overreacting? Is this going to be used against us in the future? You know, what do you think? I don't know. Okay, let me go over here and take a peek at something real quick before I continue on. Let me slide this over. Is the video okay, guys? Are we okay on video? Are we dropping too many packets? Am I off the air? Looks like I might be off the air. Am I off the air? Oh, that isn't good. Am I still on? Okay, Dale says Ustream is good. All right, good. Google, it's because my machines, I'm getting all kinds of packet drops, so the video must be wiggy right now. All right, Google Goggles. Now you can translate text in pictures. So if you go to France, Italy, Germany, or any place where there's Spanish spoken or written, you can take your Android phone, take a picture of the text, and the Google Goggles will translate the text for you. That's cool. All your users have to do is hold their phone up to a menu, newspaper, or sign they can't understand, identify the words they want to translate, take a picture to send to Google, and select a destination language. Google said it hopes to eventually extend the tool to non-Latin languages as well. Good luck on that. That's kind of cool. Only for Android users right now. All right, let's talk about distribution and user analysis of the iPad. Gender distribution right now. 30% female, 66% male. iPad's user age indexed. 55 and above, minus 6%. Oh, what's, how come it says minus 6? It's a weird chart. Okay. iPad users age indexed to Yahoo US average. All right. 45 to 54 plus 17%, 35 to 44 plus 36%, 30 to 34 plus 12, this must be a median line, 21 to 29 minus 23, under 20 is minus 39%. So it looks like the average mean here is 35 to 44 is the age point at which most people are using the iPad. iPad properties visited, Flickr, 2.4 times, finance 2.1, news 2.0, and sports 1.9. So it says, one surprising data point is the non-US IP traffic on the iPad that's coming to Yahoo. During the measurement period, the iPad has only been available to purchase US. However, we observe approximately 10% of IP traffic coming from Europe and Asia Pacific. That's amazing. So that's pretty interesting. Of course, I don't use very many Yahoo products. I haven't been over their website in probably a year. I had to laugh today because Google has done some design tweaks, and they put it on their official blog, and they said, oh, here, we want to show you what we changed with the Google logo. The old logo's on top, and the new logo's on the bottom. I'm looking at it. I think they went the wrong way. They had a nice, bright, vibrant Google with a TM, and they replaced it with a less bright Google with no TM. The new logo is lighter, brighter, and simpler. We took the very best qualities of our... You know, they probably have one person that spent a year tweaking the Google logo. They're just tweaking the colors a little bit. Give me a break. Do people look at this stuff this close? I don't look at the Google link. I don't care. And yet they say, oh, here's our little subtle differences that we made. Probably it'll end up in a million more views or something to that effect. I'm sorry. They are just too stuck on themselves. All right, those of you that are Dig fans, bad news out of Dig today. Dig did a task reduction, employee reduction of 10%. This is one of the first times that they've ever had to reduce the workforce. No real more details beyond that, but they've cut 10% of staff over at Dig. All right, over on Macworld, at macworld.com, boy, oh boy, there is another scathing article about Facebook's new feature secretly adds apps to your profile. When I read that, I'm like, huh? You mean it's adding applications to a profile? Apparently, if you visit certain pages while logged into Facebook, those sites will quietly be added to your Facebook profile. Now, if you go over and visit the Washington Post, if the sites currently leaving this trail all have Facebook integration, and a list includes heavyweights such as Gawker, Network of Blogs, Washington Post, TechCrunch, CNET, New York Magazine, and Formspring.me. And there's no way to remove these. Even if you've opted out of instant personalization, it's basically showing that you've been to those sites and that your friends have been there too. It shows you who else you know that's been over there. You know, if Google did this and tracked everywhere everyone went, you know, there would be congressional hearings. Something has to be done. This is simply irresponsible, intrusive, violation of privacy. Unbelievable. You cannot opt out. It adds apps without your knowledge to your profile based upon where you have been visiting. They go on to say, it isn't entirely clear what information these apps are pulling from user profiles or feeding back to Facebook. They aren't automatically visible to friends viewing your profile page, but if you go to an application's profile page, you can see a list of your friends who also have that app installed, essentially getting an unintentional peek at their browsing habits. On the other side, there are sites like the Washington Post, which has Facebook's network news box, showing a list of your friends who have recently shared a Washington Post article on Facebook. Huh. What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-3765. All right, spammers have been ordered to pay a tiny ISP a whopping $2.6 million. A real small ISP. I think they only had 5 employees, but they've been issued or granted a $2.6 million judgment against a company that sent just under 25,000 spam messages in over an 18-month period. And according to the CAN-SPAM Act, they were allowed about $900,000 in damages, but the judge just whacked it up to 2.6. Good luck for them ever getting any of the money. But it is a wake-up call for spammers out there. Hey, Microsoft patched Tuesday for May 2010 two bulletins. According to the Microsoft Security Response Center, Microsoft will issue two security bulletins addressing two vulnerabilities on Tuesday, May 12th. So both are rated critical, so both are remote code execution fixes, so make sure you get your patches on Tuesday. Hey, over on CNET, boy, all these news agencies are wanting to get access to the information that was cited for the warrant that was issued against the Gizmodo editor. But a San Mateo County judge on Thursday refused to consider a request by media organizations to learn the justification police used to search a Gizmodo editor's home for information about the sale of a possible iPhone prototype. And really what's going on here is the reason these news agencies want this information is because, you know, the search warrant, according to Gizmodo, was illegally issued due to the, you know, basically having privacy rights as a reporter. And it violated supposedly California statutes and federal statutes. So a whole bunch of people want this. Associated Press, Bloomberg, Los Angeles Times, and other news organizations who filed the brief want this info. And the court is still saying no. And they're not going to give them access to that. So there's still a lot of interest in the story. Of course, we haven't heard nothing else. All right, folks, if you go out and buy this next product, I'm going to scold you in advance, because if you're going to buy an iPad, use it as an iPad. If you want to have a laptop, go out and buy a laptop, because there's a company called Clam Case gives iPads a laptop style keyboard and it folds together like a laptop. The Clam Case doesn't tie into the iPad's docking port, uses Bluetooth, but it's got a full function keyboard. So you can type on it. It's just a little plastic base with a keyboard on it. It'll actually fold up and provide a protective case to the screen. It's probably $80 or something like that. They don't tell the price on this thing. But, the Climb case is about to go on sale third quarter of 2010, and the company has not yet announced just... I'm sure we're going to see... All right, hey, you guys know I'm going to try to be... I'm working real hard to get you guys discounts on the Roku device. Our Jeff over at Raw Voice has been working really hard with the Netflix... with the Roku salespeople over there. We know we can secure a minimum discount of at least 5%, but we're working for a higher discount because we're going to try to get this so that all of our content creators at Raw Voice and Tech Podcast can offer these Rokus to their audience members at a discount. And we're working that hard, and I hope to have something for you soon. But Roku today is showing off a new Netflix UI, and what they basically are doing here is the new UI for the Roku digital video player allows you to pick your videos that you want to watch. You don't have to go online anymore. You can actually pick the videos that you want to have stream right from the interface. This is awesome. So the little box that can keeps on just really knocking people's socks off. And according to us, you know, compared to other competitors' price, it's still the best value out there. How many of you bought a Roku because of this show already? Love to hear you if you have, geeknews@gmail.com. Again, our tech podcast channel is, I mean, it is so close. I'm hoping tomorrow, we are at, it's really at the final approval stage. It's all QA stuff's been done. Just waiting for them to say, it's on. And I'm really excited. Based on our Blueberry traffic that we've seen, our tech podcast members better be holding on to their servers because... we've been a huge amount of traffic with the so far with the Blueberry channel, and I'm sure we're going to see it just as much with the tech podcast, probably more. All right, over on the New York Times, and this is going way back, folks. In our early human history, humans got a little bit frisky with our Neanderthal cousins. Apparently, there's DNA evidence to show that there was a little mixing of DNA, and but not too much. So far, the scientific team has only identified 100 genes that really shouldn't belong to us. They should belong to the weaker species that fell extinct about how many over 1,000 years ago. But anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out from the New York Times. All right, here's an interesting one. Ever made a bad decision or you regretted something? They say if you go wash your hands, it wipes away regrets. A study done says if you try to clear your head after making a tough choice, you should wash your hands. Huh. Well, wash my hands of that. It's done, right? Wiping the slate clean, we all do that, right? Well, that's it. So anyway, one group of 40 students was asked to rank 10 music CDs in order, and they were offered a gift, and then they did a little test, and they made some go wash their hands and others, and basically the ones that washed their hands felt better. Anyway, I have the full link to the full study up. Hey, news out of Russia, and I'm sure this is really reliable here, but the U.S. space shuttle program may not come to an end this year. The Russian Federal Space Agency head said in a statement, citing information from the International Space Station manager, said, according to Michael Cerfordini, the space shuttle Atlas may launch to the ISS in summer of 2011 to do a parts run. So this is kind of curious. We haven't heard nothing that on the U.S. side yet. All right, H.264 continues to heat up, and I'm sure those of you that are Ubuntu users are, you may be happy or disappointed, but Ubuntu's commercial sponsor has basically signed H.264 license, which means that you're going to be able to watch H.264 content or encode it on your Ubuntu boxes. And this is the first Linux. Operating system, or actually, I don't know how you guys define these in version, to going to have H.264 support. What's your thoughts on that, Linux users? I know you guys are big OGG and OGV fans, which I am not one of those, but What are you guys' thoughts on this licensing of H.264 for Ubuntu? Now, here's a weird one. The UK is getting as bad as the United States is here. A United Kingdom court says sports schedules can be covered by copyright. Huh. So, you can't reprint on your blog the schedule of your latest football or soccer schedule because it is covered by copyright. Huh. The process of preparing fixture list involves very significant labor and skill. Oh, it takes skill to put a schedule together. In satisfying the multitude of often competing requirements of those involved, Judge Christopher Floyd said, it is not mere sweat of the brow, but by which I mean the application of rigid criteria to the processing of data. The quality of the solution depends in part. What is this guy saying? Anyway, this is ridiculous. So if you're in the UK, you post up a sports schedule, you can be caught, you could be held in copyright violation. And to my Canadian friends in the north, it's back. Canadian DMCA bill expected against next month. You knew it was going to happen. Yeah, this was knocked down last year, but they're bringing it back. Ha. They're bringing it back. Man the battlefields. So it's supposed to be introduced next week. Get on the phones. Get your email fired up. Talk to your representatives. Or else, you're going to lose this, you know, get busy, folks. All right, let me look at the time here. Oh, we're doing good. Doing good on time. No voicemails tonight. No one called me. No one felt that I needed to be scolded or informed about any mispronunciations of words or anything like that or any comments on the show. So, anyway, 619-342-7365 is the telephone number, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Voicemail again, 619-342-7365. Don't be afraid to call me and leave your comments. Hey, Cloudberry. This is by Yitz. He says, hey, Cloudberry, they have a free version too. What this is in relation to is an alternative jungle disk for Amazon S3. Yitz, home run, baby. That was the first email that came in after the show. Thank you for that info. That's what I was looking for. As I told you in the last show, Jungle Disk has been crashing my Windows Vista machine, making it go into a blue screen of death. So thank you so much for that. Anyone else use Jungle Disk having that issue? Definitely I have. Got an email from Terry and Nancy. Terry's out of Illinois. He says, hey, Todd, a while back you were discussing disposing of hard drives without leaving personal information that can be opened. The attached article discusses other devices to clean before disposing. He says, I've used a 3-pound hammer and drives before tossing them, but a simpler method is just to pop a couple of surface-mounted integrated circuits off the printed circuit board. As a final insurance, I scrape the manufacturer and model number off that label. I don't think many people would take the trouble to trace the FCC number and find a duplicate drive just to swap electronics and try to get an old drive to work. I enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work, Terry. Hey, Terry, 5-pound sledgehammer with a hard drive sitting on a metal plate. You know that when you do that thing at the fair where you're hitting that few good whacks, that's all it takes, my friend. And plus, it's, you know, a little exercise at the same time. So I'll put this article up by PC World. Thanks for that. Got an email here from Bill in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. He said, hey, Todd, here's another amazing photo from the International Space Station, but a tragic one. He says, I hope they can get this mess under control soon. And he's referring to the oil leak down in the Gulf. He said, also, what did you change with your road studio? There is definitely a difference from the past road shows. It's okay, but not the same quality as before. Still, I love the show and what you do. Aloha, Bill. Bill, I haven't changed nothing. Oh, that's odd. I have changed nothing here. What is different? Is it, is there not enough bass or too much treble or what? I don't know. I didn't change anything. Same gear. Same equipment, so it must be something I'm doing in the encoding. I don't know. But thanks for that. And that oil spill situation, I guess they got that cap down there, and the BP CEO who was on TV today, he didn't sound too positive. I don't like that. You know, when you're supposed to be like, yes, this is going to work, and then if it doesn't, then you But he's like, I don't know, this has never been tried before, but something about pressure differential, they don't think they'll be able to keep it on. Man, next thing they're going to do is they're going to shove, they're talking about shoving tires and stuff down the pipe. Plastic and rubber, they're going to try to plug it that way if that doesn't work. That sounds, hey, that's just like, you know, you've got a, you got a water leak. You know what they should use? This is what they should use. You guys know that 1,000-mile-an-hour tape? That stuff works for anything. Just take about 100 rolls of 1,000-mile-an-hour tape, take that down on a submersible, and just start rapping. it's really not funny, but, you know, at this point, I think any idea is on the table, right? I got an email here from Andrew. He says, hey, Todd, here's some interesting links for you. He says, asteroids may have brought water to Earth. We covered that in the last show, but thanks for that. James Cameron to develop a 3D camera for Mars rover. Oh, that's cool. And AT&T to pay customers for slow DSL speeds. Well, I wonder if my local provider in Hawaii will pay me for slow DSL speeds. Thanks for those, Andrew. Got an email here from Tim. He said, hey, Todd, I'm looking for a wireless 3G modem that I can plug into my wireless router. So I'm looking for a wireless 3G modem that I can plug into my wireless router so I can connect my PC via Ethernet cable and still use my internet wirelessly with geeknewscentral.com as the SSID, of course. Any good recommendations? What do you use? Thanks, Ed, for your time, for your advice. I don't have – my wireless 3G modem is a stick, a USB stick. I have two of those, and then my my actual WiMAX by Clear is an actual modem. It plugs into a I just use a Netgear router that does two ways. But I don't think you can buy some. You have to search for them. But I don't think you can plug a 3G modem into any standard wireless router. So if I didn't completely understand your question, please reclarify in a follow-on email. But thanks for changing your SSID to geeknewscentral.com, and I hope everyone else does as well. And sticker goes to Tim for doing that. Thanks for being part of the supporters here at Geek News Central. Got an email from Jason. He said, hey, Todd, you had mentioned you think Palm was a bad buy for HP. I think if they do things right, it could be a huge win for them. Palm's web OS is actually an amazing operating system. The biggest issue they had with selling it to consumer was first carriers. Not many had them around the world. Also, developer support. Palm has hardly any apps for the web OS because they took a very long time to get the SDK out. From what I hear, getting an app onto their store is a huge challenge. However, for HP, most of these issues have now been worked out, so they get a big head start. They also have a lot of manpower to help out with the app store issue. Also, one thing to keep in mind, HP is a very big vertical seller. That's true. So is Dell. They have big contracts with hospital insurance companies, military. Now they can actually have a good OS for their iPad devices. They still have those and their phones. Yes, they actually still sell phones, which are big sellers to those customers. And the slate they recently cast, I'm sure, will be resurrected as a web OS device. Jason, iPhone developer number 3. And Jason, we got to get you a prize out too for your submission. So why don't you go over, Jason, to the first of all, pick something out at the new Ohana store at Cafe Press. Let me know what you want off the Ohana store, and then I have a little monetary thing for you too as well. All right, hey, that's it tonight, folks, for the show. And next show we'll be back in the studio in Honolulu. I'm looking forward to getting home. The weather here in Albuquerque has been spectacular. I was out walking around this morning about 10:30, and the mountains in the distance, and the air was just crisp and clean. Just perfect time to be in Albuquerque. And if you've never been to Albuquerque, this is a great city to visit. Lots of culture, lots of things to do. Of course, Santa Fe is right up the road, and boy, that's the art capital of New Mexico. Lots of things to do here. If you've never spent any time in New Mexico, consider coming out to the state. They have a lot of great things to offer. But plus, they got Sandia Casino, Indian Reservation Casinos. So if you want to do a little gambling, you can do that as well. But anyway, so far, I've stayed out of the casinos. That's it for tonight's show. Everyone take care. We'll see you back in Honolulu for Monday night. We'll be recording in our normal showtime there, so it'll be past the bedtime of many of you that come up on Ustream, but don't worry. We'll have the show up in replay for 24 hours at geeknewscentral.com. Be sure to check out there. Everyone take care. Have a great night, and those of you on Ustream, I'll hang out here for a little bit with you and chat. Until next time, everyone take care, and aloha.